This is Mai with Dear Queer.
And this is Julian.
Yeah. We're in the, I guess, Match Theater right now. I think it's a theater complex. Yeah, so they do a lot of array of different things. Yeah.
Well, no, I was just saying I've never been here, so I was like, what is this?
Oh, yeah, true. So we're here with the director and cast, some of the cast members with Booty Candy. And, yeah, we're just in, I guess this is, where's this at? This is y'all's rehearsal room.
Yeah. And we also want to say that we are at Match, so sorry if the sound isn't super great. Forgive us, please. Be nice to us.
We're sitting with director Vance Johnson and two other cast members also, if y'all want to introduce yourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Vance Johnson, the director of Booty Candy.
I'm Xavier Hollins. I'll be playing Sutter.
Ooh, the lead.
I'm Brittany Bush, and I'm Actor One, which is a certain track that includes young mother Sutter's younger sibling and other characters.
Wait, how's that work? Can you explain that to me?
So Booty Candy has Sutter.
Yes.
Yeah. Xavier is playing that character, the main character. But then every other actor is on a track, which means they have several characters they play throughout the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Instead of just one character the entire show, they play several different characters.
Yeah, I guess
throughout.
We'll get a little bit into more detail about the premise of the show, because I read up a little bit about it. I read the press release and I tried to look it up a little bit, and I was just like, oh, this sounds really cool. I'm really excited to talk to the director and some of the cast members about this, because I think that this is something that's really important for the Black queer community, and it's actually a play that I'm considering going to see myself as well. That's what me and Mai were talking about, but we're just like, let's like align our schedules and figure this out. So yeah, like, just tell us a little bit about this play. Like, why Booty Candy?
Well, Booty Candy is skips around in time, and it kind of tracks with events in the main character's life, Sutter, and it takes him from a young boy to a grown man, and some of the encounters that he has with both family and other people. And the author, Robert O'Hara, has said that not everything happened to him exactly as portrayed in the play, but perhaps some version of it one way or the other.
So it's like a loose adaptation of O'Hara's life.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
So family's really important, how Sutter relates to his family and to others, friends. And people that he encounters during the course of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it swings from wildly outrageous and hilariously funny to very serious at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that I liked about it when I was asked to consider directing it, was the fact that there was a lot of variation and that the swing of emotions or the arc of emotions over the show is really tremendous.
Mm-hmm. So can you go a little bit more into detail about why you were excited to direct this show?
Well, there were a number of reasons. Number one, although I'm not gay, I've certainly been an ally for pretty much all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an important piece for the gay community and the LGBTQ community, and especially, as you said, the Black community as well. It portrays characters that we don't often see in mainstream media, and that's really an important thing as well. So the other thing is that a lot of what happens in the show is universal. I mean, you know, they're people. It's not necessarily always just about the fact that they're part of the LGBTQ community, but the range of human emotions and the things that we all share regardless of what community or how we identify our sexuality.
So you mentioned that this is a play that's really for everybody. Like, obviously recognizing that this is important for the LGBTQ community, but that you've been able to sort of like look at this and be like, this is something that's like a human story. Is that how you've been able to be to direct this play from the lens of an ally rather than, you know, someone that is of the community?
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair characterization. And you know, the fact that it is universal, I think there's something in here that everybody can relate to. Because, you know, no matter who we are or what our views are, we interact, we're related to, we interface with people in the LGBTQ, community.
No, it's okay. You can even say, we get it, LGBT plus, LGBTQ, you know, all the acronyms.
Yeah.
Continue.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, there's a lot about the play that's that's universal, as well as being specifically about the community. And that's how I was able to approach it personally.
I read a little bit about your biography in this press release that we got when when we were approached with doing this interview. And it outlined a little bit about your career, but I'm really curious to know more about it, really. Like, why? Like, what made you want to start directing plays? Is your background that? Did you get education for it? And so on and so forth.
Sure. The first theater experience or class I ever took was in junior high. And I had a fabulous time. And the teacher that I had, Mr. Weinsberg, God rest him, kind of took me under, and several other students under his wing. But, you know, that was a time specifically when lots of folks would say, you're going to do theater? So when I was in high school, I didn't do theater at all. I was focused on college prep courses and AP courses and all that other kind of good stuff. And in fact, when I went to college at UCLA, I started out as a psychology major. But it was a lot of fun to party and do things like that. So my grades were not stellar in the beginning. And then as an elective, I took an acting class, a basic acting class. And it kind of rekindled my my love for the art. And I switched my major immediately to theater. So I do have a BA in theater. And my arc here in Houston, I had not done serious theater for quite a while. This is back in the early to mid-90s. And one day my wife said, you know, your daughter wants to go audition for a show. She was 4 years old at the time. And she said, you know, they're also having auditions for a regular production tonight. She said, you keep talking about it, you better go.
Get off of my back and go check it out.
Yeah, so I went, and my first audition in many years, I got cast as the lead in that particular community theater show. Spent time in community theater, and then some friends of mine from the theater and I decided to start our own professional company. So we did that about 6-7 years ago. Just been going ever since.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing. That's funny you say that, because I actually heard that people who are directors have never been actors, and so they don't know how to talk to actors or whatever, you know, like there's just like that miscommunication between the two. So it's awesome that you've been able to, you know,
play. Well, I like going back and forth. I think, you know, they're separate skills, but I think the fact that I have been an actor does help inform my directing and makes it easier to work with the cast.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, we can ask the, how do y'all feel, like, how do y'all like working with?
Well, I'm Xavian. I'm playing Sutter in the show. With Vance, it's amazing just because he allows you to think objectively. Because with me, sometimes everything can become like jumbled in the rehearsal room. Like you can't begin to separate things. Like, and then nothing becomes specific. But just having an eye on it and making you look outside of the box and think objectively just really helps.
Do you identify at all as LGBTQ before I ask my next question?
Oh, no, yeah, yeah.
So do you find that having to play the role of a black gay man, has that been difficult for you? Or do you, basically what I'm trying to say is, have you do you have a hard time separating the two, basically?
I don't separate the two. Mm-hmm. Not with this particular role, just because actually this is my first gay role ever on stage, which is funny because being a gay man and then being in theater and education throughout like my whole life, it's you know, you're always playing a straight man or you're playing something that is not going to allow you to be cathartic in life, and the mm-hmm. purpose of being an actor is that so that you can show people certain vulnerabilities.
Right.
And always, you know, after a while, playing someone else's vulnerabilities becomes old and you mm-hmm. want to dive into something else.
Right.
So I guess I've been waiting for this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy. It's very easy.
How did you hear about the call, or, you know, like?
Well, I've been working with Catastrophic for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that they were doing the play, I immediately attacked Tamari for the script.
Give me that shit.
Literally immediately. I was like, so yeah. And then told a few people about it, and I probably wasn't supposed to.
Nice.
Because I was really happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And well, told a few people about the script, not that, you know, this was my role.
Right.
I just wanted people to know about it. Because when I had first read it, I had reacted to it very viscerally, very emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How long is the play?
An hour and 30.
Nice.
An hour and 30 minutes is perfect with an intermission.
Okay.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess how long have y'all been training for right now? Because y'all start going back in... Or y'all start opening next week, I think, is that? Or
yeah, the show opens on February 15th. We started rehearsals on January 7th.
Okay.
And been working hard at it, you know, since then.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives us about a little over 4 weeks prep time. Next week will be the sets will be going up. The lights are being focused as we speak today. And all the other elements are going to be coming together so that we can open the show on the 15th.
Fun.
So we're very excited about it.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. What are you excited about, Brittany?
Oh, I'm Brittany Bush. I already introduced myself. I don't have to do it again. Okay, cool. I'm really excited to see how the audience responds, you know, the different impressions that they have of the play and what it is. It's one of those plays that... yeah, it is very visceral. It is very, it's without preamble or apology. It's just, it's kind of out there. It's who it is. It's mm-hmm. wonderful in that way. So I don't know that the reactions will be the same from person to person. I think everyone will have their own very vivid experience of it for, yeah.
Yeah. No, I actually had a question for Xavian, if that's mm-hmm. cool. So... You know, I had a lot of friends growing up in, you know, in theater, and I've seen, like, you know, you talk about how it's supposed to be this cathartic thing mm-hmm. for you, and I see it when my friends would perform and how much they just absolutely loved it. Like, mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine from high school that's in New York now, and he's doing a little bit of acting here and there, and so my question is for you is that as a queer Black man, what does theater mean for you? Or rather, a gay Black man.
It's therapy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually go on a rehearsal with a headache and then walk out without it mm-hmm. because I haven't been thinking about mm-hmm. you know myself.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, a bigger picture. You know, maybe that day I'm supposed to be worried about other people, or maybe I'm supposed to be worrying about somebody else's problem, or.
Mm-hmm.
Just not myself. I don't know. I've been doing theater since sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a really long time now. Like at this point, like, I don't even know if it means anything to me as much mm-hmm. as it's a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one year where, like, I didn't do anything. And I was like, I'm going crazy. I'm going crazy.
Were you just like trying to take a break, or was it?
Yeah,
just like
I was trying to be like a quote unquote adult and, you mm-hmm. know, paying jobs and all that. Because, you know, Houston isn't that
oh, yeah.
big of a scene for you know, supporting
entertainers,
theater actors,
right?
You know, specifically theater actors. The only way you can actually support yourself in theater is probably a combination of PB and the Alley, you know, Pastorina Basby agency and
right.
the Alley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it's not a lot, and there's a lot of talent in Houston. So.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. It's actually funny because I worked with Brittany once. Mm-hmm.
Where?
So I dabble in, like, I'm also a performer, so like mm-hmm. a comedic performer. But we did
We did a film workshop together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we had a scene. We were a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a scene together. It was fun. And I got to meet her mom. And mm-hmm. That was not for our scene, but it was.
No,
there was some reason that we were there. I think we were filming something else. Another scene. But it was exciting.
It was actually like two couples married, like two same-sex people. Mm-hmm. And then.
Yeah,
they wanted to adopt a baby or something, and then you were like the person who was like, "No, you can't adopt this
That's
baby."
Right. That's right. That's right.
Like,
I don't know why I thought we were the couple.
I think another part we were. I think we were okay. also women because we did like three different. Like,
yeah, I was the kind of self-righteous Bible thumping. Yeah. Adoption blocker. That's right. That's right.
That's okay. Where it was so long ago. That's funny. How long have you been acting for?
Wow. It's been a while. Definitely since college. I changed my major as well. But I'd done a little bit in high school and in middle school. But definitely probably my sophomore year of college, mm-hmm. I started transitioning into being more of a realizing that theater could be a career,
right.
that I could get a degree in it, and that I really loved it and made mm-hmm. me happy. So,
could you tell us, or any of y'all tell us more about the Catastrophic Theater and like the y'all partnering with the Truth Project?
I can't speak on the Truth Project, but Catastrophic Theater Company has been going on for the greater part of 20 plus years of mm-hmm. like just probably the best avant-garde drama in Houston.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, a lot of people gravitate toward their work because it is strange, shocking, and current.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah, that's why I love the company and why I will continue to work with them for who knows how long.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
I
like was thinking, I was like, oh, I think this is, I'm not sure if this is like a spicy question, but like mm-hmm. I know that since we're kind of in the theater district but not really, and since like ensemble theater is like next door,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking, would they ever play, do y'all think that they would ever have a play like this on there, since they're considered like a black running theater that's been going on for a while?
It's a really saucy question. It's like a question I always asked, you know, and I think it has something to do with audience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like demographic.
What
basically.
Audience is ready for what material?
Mm-hmm.
There's a specific type of audience at the ensemble. There's a specific type of audience at Catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
And to mount a specific show is either going to alienate that audience or cause them to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on what audience is ready right. for what. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they're ready for something that is this brazen.
Right. Because this is like a really thought-provoking.
And it can be really crude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is, that is life.
Offensive, yeah.
You
right,
know, it can
yeah.
be offensive in the best way possible, in the most lovely way.
Mm-hmm. What are some things that the play touches on? I mean, obviously this is supposed to be this like going through this life of this black gay man.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, like, what are the other layers that this play touches on?
Well,
besides sexuality.
Yeah, we've got racism. We've got molestation. We've got... fetishization.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of, does a relationship last?
Right.
Life and death.
Mm-hmm. So basically just going through this, the story with this character.
It's everything and it's for everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Unrequited love.
Right.
It's a coming of age story. It's everything.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. And you just peel back mm-hmm. the layers. It's almost like you, mm-hmm. you might want to see it again if
right.
you first. You know.
Do y'all see a little bit of yourself in this play?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's a lot of it where it's like, I've said that, or like, I've done this before multiple times, multiple scenes where you're like, I've done this. Or by the end of the scene, you're kind of like, is this how my life's going to end up? You're like, ooh, that's a choice.
Absolutely. Yes, I recognize a lot of the characters, even if people that I grew up around or went to church with aren't exactly like these characters. There's a definite familiarity because the playwright really pulls from his own life and his own experiences as a Black man. It's really refreshing to see characters and situations that I recognize from my own life for sure. Yeah, I really love the way he fully embraces his own voice and doesn't qualify it or apologize for it, and allows the audience to have whatever experience of it they're gonna have. There's a scene where it kind of breaks the fourth wall in terms of analyzing playwriting and having this outside eye, or rather very specifically a white male eye, evaluate, you know, what does this play mean and why are you doing this play and what are you trying to say? And that a lot of times becomes the default for everyone, even though, you know, I think the playwright is encouraging us to challenge that default and not feel like you have to explain anything that deviates from this idea of normal. And so,
well, it's interesting they talk about that, how the playwright like really wants everyone to sort of like take a step back and like really like deconstruct a lot of like what they think, right? And so we've sort of all been touching on this as we've been going on with this interview, but what is the big takeaway you want the audience to get when they see this play?
So I said it before, but like we're all going through the same thing. Yeah. Like it's actually pretty shocking how much we're all going through the same things.
I don't know if I want to say what I'm thinking. Let your freak flag fly. That's what comes to mind. Like, be who you are. Be who you are without shame. Like, just open up and be honest and celebrate your experience, past, present, and future. Just celebrate it. I love the way the author really does that, and that brings you in even when you're kind of tisk-tisking mm-hmm. about certain things that cross your own boundaries.
Yeah.
You can still completely see how thoroughly he celebrates who he is mm-hmm. and the people that he's encountered in his life.
Yeah. I think that's true, and then in some sense, the play for me is victorious, right? Because what Brittany just talked about, you know, he does this in the face of racism. He does this in the face of marginalization.
Mm-hmm.
The LGBTQ community,
mm-hmm.
And so on. And I think that's really an important value.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he does that. Mm-hmm. And before we forget it, can I skip back? You had asked about the Truth Project.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. We have three Sunday afternoon matinees,
mm-hmm.
and we've scheduled talkbacks. There'll be a panel discussion mm-hmm. with some of us and folks from the Truth Project. Mm-hmm. And that'll occur on, let's see, this is the 3rd, 10th. It'll occur on the 24th,
mm-hmm.
February 24th,
mm-hmm.
and then each of the two mm-hmm. following Sundays, including our closing performance, which is March 10th. There'll be a talk back.
Yeah. Well, thank y'all so much for talking to us. This is actually, like, really cool and really interesting to, like, really, like, kind of get behind the scenes of, like, a play and, like, we've never talked to a director or actors for a local play, and that's just, it's really cool, you know what I mean? I really, really can't wait to see it for myself. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up, unless if there's anything else y'all want
to
say.
Yeah, well, I'd just like to say thank you for inviting us to share with you and your audience. We appreciate that. Catastrophic Theater is found on the web at www.catastrophictheater, and that's theater with an R-E, .com. And there's information about all of our performances. One of the unique things about Catastrophic Theater is that since its founding, it's been a pay-what-you-can company, which means that no one should stay away because of budgetary reasons.
Yeah.
And
which I think is also really rad. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and the theater's been able to survive and thrive with that philosophy, and that's really an important part of what they do.
Great. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off. We've been Veer Queer. If you haven't yet, please go ahead and check us out on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher. And we're also a Spectrum South podcast as well now, so you can check them out. You can check us out on their website, rather. And you mentioned one of the matinees. We really want to encourage our listeners to go to that Sunday February 24th matinee at 2:30, because that's when Spectrum South will be partnering on that day as well. And if y'all haven't yet, check us out on Twitter, which is Veer_Queer. Wow. HTX. At Veer Queer Podcast on Facebook. And with that, I have been Julian. And we'll see y'all soon. Thank you. Bye.